got scraps you don't wanna keep. Don't throw them out, just throw them into the compost heap. Yeah, the compost heap.
Vegetables, so you go to like some...
If you don't need them, I sure do for my compost heap. I got a compost heap.
Yes.
Did you go to some Mother Earth music festival with the recording equipment?
Well, you know, being quarantined, you got to do something to keep yourself entertained. Well,
this is his superpower. The songs that he comes up with are, it's like, where did that come from?
I would have thought I'd find something about compost, you know?
Right.
Not even the Beatles recorded a song about compost.
Which is our topic of our Farmer Greg hour here, the fourth Saturday of the month. We're talking compost and what we can get in. You know, if we start today, we'll have good compost in about 6 months, which is about the time we're planting, you know, a good time for lettuce,
yeah,
radishes, carrots.
Yeah, so all the fall crops we get to start planting in October. And I found that a lot of the fall crops that I used to be able to plant in September, it's just too dang hot in September, so I have to push it off to October sometime. But... you know, that compost is great.
I've got the perfect visual in my yard.
Yeah.
On the power of compost.
Tell me.
I've got this 20 by 12, 24 by 12 garden. That's kind of a sympathy garden right now. I just water it out of sympathy for the plants. They are really, really struggling right now. The peppers aren't doing too good. The eggplant's not doing too good. The tomatoes, I just need to yank them and pull them. But in the corner is my compost. And I've got the nicest cantaloupe and tomato plant growing right out of that. They are the happiest plants in the whole yard right there. So, baby, I just go down, I water it just to keep them going.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing to me. Because when we're putting, you know, all that stuff in the compost bin, seeds get in there.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, tomatoes and vining crops and peppers, I've seen all of that herbs come out of my compost. That, you know,
just perfect volunteers.
Perfect, let them volunteers.
Let them go, baby. Let the strong survive. Get on with it.
And that's the thing about volunteers. Generally, the volunteers in your yard are stronger than anything that we plant from, you know, a plant start. So,
well, there could be no more perfect visual representation of the power of compost as a photograph of my garden right now.
Gotta love it. So, you have some kitchen scraps. Like, what do you do next? And you know, that's the question I get a lot from people. It's, you know, it's like, how do I do this? And I give a class called non-composting because, you know, we talked about thermophilic composting and the challenges and the amount of material that you need. I would say that 99% of you all out there do not have enough greens and browns in your possession to be able to start hot composting. So given that that's the case, what else can you do? And the simplest thing to do is what I call pit composting. If you have a garden, or really if you have dirt in your yard and you have kitchen scraps, get a shovel, you know, save them up for a couple of days, get a shovel, dig a little hole, throw the scraps in and cover it up. The microorganisms will show up, the worms will show up, and they, you know, they're doing all that work to break it down. And if you have a, you know, a 4x8 garden bed and take all your kitchen scraps and do that in your garden bed around your garden plants, your garden is going to thrive. And quite honestly, that is the simplest way to compost. I call it pit composting, and it's, you know, it's just pretty straight up.
I'd never heard of pit composting, and you are right. They just show up. It's amazing how the life just shows up when you start it.
Yep.
The animals, the insects.
The worms.
The worms. Where did they all come from?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, and I've had people put 6 or 8 inches of woody mulch on their dirt backyard. Remember I mentioned that earlier? On their dirt backyard, they put 6 or 8 inches of woody mulch. And within 6 months, that 8 inches is down to 4 inches. But if you dig down underneath, there's life there. There's worms that show up. And it's like, hold on, that was just dirt. And, you know, highly compacted dirt. And, you know, nothing really grows in it. But once we start acting, remember I talked regenerative earlier, right? what I'm doing in my yard is a regenerative food forest. I let the leaves fall. I let the grass clippings go in the lawn or put them in the compost. I'm using all of that organic matter to build the ecosystem, just like you would in a forest. You know, I'm looking to nature and forest systems to see how that works. And that's what I'm trying to replicate. That's what I'm replicating at the urban farm.
And that woody mulch, you could get that delivered in bulk pretty easy.
Absolutely.
Or there's a lot of places, if you got a pickup truck, you can put a tarp in your bed, pull up to a bulk spot. The tractor will come with a bucket, dump it right in.
Yes. Or, you know, my buddy Brent over at BNC Tree Service and John at Integrity Tree Services has the same challenge. You know, they do a tree job and they chip up all of this woody mulch and they put it in a truck that holds 25 cubic yards of woody mulch. It cost them upwards of, Brent has told me this, it cost them upwards of $500 to dump that at the dump. So there's a service out there called Chip Drop. In fact, I had the founder of Chip Drop on my podcast recently, Urban Farm Podcast. And chipdrop.com, basically you sign up with them for somebody to dump a pile of woody mulch in your driveway in your yard. Thing is, you're going to get 25 cubic yards. 25 cubic yards is 8 feet wide, 6 feet tall, and 20 feet long. So it's a lot of materials. But if you have a dirt backyard, the best way to get it activated as an urban farm, as a place to grow anything, really, if you just want to grow some nice plants back there, is to add 6 or 8 inches of woody mulch and do that 2 or 3 times. Because again, remember we talked about the compost dropping in half? Same thing will happen with the woody mulch. And what happens at the interface between the dirt and the woody mulch is composting. And before long, you get this absolutely amazing soil there. So that's another way to compost.
And Chip Drop, you're waiting on an arborist to come by and do it. So there may be 10 people in front of you. You may time it right where, you know, he shows up at the end of the day. You know, you're not sure when that comes. And I waited for a year and never got any, but there's not a lot of arborists out where I live.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's actually changing. Like I said, I interviewed the gentleman that started Chip Drop. He said as it's expanded over the past couple of years, they actually on their website, they say how many days it on average is taking. And it's like days rather than weeks or months
nice.
Now. So, you know, and you are out there where, you know.
243rd Avenue.
Something like that.
You keep saying woody mulch, so I picture something very fine. But is it full of chips like when you buy a bag of bark? What does it look like?
It looks like chipped wood.
Okay, so it is chunky.
Yep. Oh, it's definitely chunky. And it's full of greens and browns. So what happens is as soon as your pile arrives at your house, it starts to heat up. So it's actually, the composting process is actually starting up. And that's part of what has it break down really fast when you put your layers around your basins of your trees, like the pictures you sent me, Romy, of your, you know, your trees and your dog and the laying in it, but it starts breaking down really fast.
And I've had 3 people ask me, when did I plant those trees?
And
they're 8 years old. They had never noticed them before.
Just
the way that soil just made the trees pop.
Oh.
It really has, as healthy as it is for the tree, it's very decorative as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Plus, it cools the space down. It acts like a sponge. It holds on to water. It warms, keeps things a little warmer in the wintertime if you need that. Basically, you're putting a forest in your backyard when you do that. And then when the leaves drop, save the leaves. Let them, that's your mulch for later on.
Do you rake your leaves or you just let them sit there?
I rake them, actually mow them up because they're heading toward the chicken coop and the chickens will root through them and add a little bit of organic matter or chicken poop. And then that's my stuff that goes into the basins around the trees and into my compost bin.
Mm-hmm.
So all the organic matter, and I have a chipper mulcher, but a majority of the organic matter that I raise at the urban farm either gets chipped or composted, it gets used on site.
But even with that mulch, after we just went through 100 plus days of no rain, you don't have to water as much.
Exactly. Jake Mace, he was the vegan athlete. He had a place out in Tempe, and I was at his house about 5-6 years ago, and he put 3 feet of woody mulch in his backyard. and it broke down to 8 to 12 inches over time, but it hadn't rained in 6 months at his house. It was like 2014 or something like that. And I went there, it was like February, and it hadn't rained since October or something like that. I stuck a shovel in the ground. I dug down 8 inches and it was moist. I said, dude, have you been watering this? He said, no, that's from the rain. That's what happens. When we start mimicking forests, that's what happens.
And that's why we bring you in every Saturday at the end of the month on the Fourth Saturday, talking urban farming and getting that food forest. If you've not heard Greg before, his vision is to basically turn the metropolitan area into a food forest.
Yep. How can we grow enough food in Phoenix to feed Phoenix? It is possible. If all of these plants out here, all this stuff out here, that you see out the window here, we've got palm trees and Palo Verdes,
Sisu,
and mesquite. Those all make edibles. If we plant the right varieties, we can have palm trees that make dates. We can have desert trees that make food. Ironwood and Palo Verde and mesquite all make food. It's like we need to be paying attention to that. And it's, we saw it. What I've been preaching for years is that most cities have a 3-day supply of food.
Yeah.
And we saw that in March. We saw empty shelves in grocery stores. It's what I've been talking about. And so that is the biggest reason we need to make compost, grow healthy soil, and grow our own food.
Now, I think some people resist compost because they're under the impression it's smelly.
Mm-hmm.
It attracts flies and bugs.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason I didn't do it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got to know you, and I got scolded by my sister. And so then I tried it. I haven't found it attracts any flies at all.
Nope.
And it doesn't have any odor.
No.
And if it gets slimy, you just have to add some paper
Browns.
Product.
Yep. Yeah.
I love my shredding machine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That's your document shredder.
My document shredder, yeah.
And you take that paper and add it to your compost.
I layer that with all my greens.
There you go.
It makes beautiful. I make much prettier compost than I make garden fruit.
Well,
I got to finish to figure out how to finish the loop, Greg.
Well, how long have you been composting now?
8 years.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
A nice long time. So yes, they don't smell, and they don't attract bugs, as long as you're doing it right. If you have a smell or you have bugs, you got to revisit how you're doing your process.
It's slimy.
It's exactly. Yeah. Here's the thing that I tell people to do, and this is actually the second simplest thing to do, and that's put a worm bin in. And you can actually put a worm bin underneath your sink,
and
inside.
I'm going to have you dive into that detail, but of all things we can do here at Rosie on the House, we can't stop the clock.